it's always a challenge for the preacher to know what it is that the Lord wants them to speak about each Sunday morning. It is a very easy thing to fall into the temptation of following the various rabbit trails and getting sidetracked and speaking on our own special interests and the things that are near and dear to our own hearts, and sometimes going way off track of what God really has intended for us. It's a constant struggle that ministers and preachers face, especially when it comes to times of conviction, messages of conviction. Last week we heard one of those messages. They're very hard to speak, those messages that in a way point fingers, not from the pulpit, but from the throne of God Almighty. They stir our souls and our hearts and sometimes make us a little upset. But I was very encouraged last Sunday that throughout the day I was receiving text messages from several people in the parish with an amen to last Sunday's message. It wasn't my message, it was a message from God. And it's something that from time to time I think we need to wrestle with. And that's the key in our Christian journey, is we're wrestling with the issues in our society and in our cultures today, and especially wrestling with the issues that we deal with personally as people in our own community. Last week we talked about being disobedient children and the command by Jesus to love one another as He loved us. So we are to love others about the greatest command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, the man came to Jesus and said, "Who's my neighbor?" Getting very technical, the lawyer wanted to know, well, if I have to love everybody, who's my neighbor? I want to make sure and know, because I don't want to love somebody that I don't have to love. And that's poor thinking. Jesus said, and well, he told him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we talked about prejudice, we talked about bigotry, and how we pick and choose who we want to minister to based on the various things of our culture, and especially of things in the valley that I have brokenheartedly watched over the last 10 years. But it was very refreshing to know that what God had spoken to us last Sunday was truly in the hearts of many people in our valley and really speaks to us. It just is a blessing to know that God's Word still has the power to do that. So we wrestled with that issue. Who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is everyone that we live around, everyone that is in need. As Christians, we are to love them regardless. In today's passage, we find another scripture about love, about loving others. Love is a choice when it comes to loving others. And the choice is ours in regards to being obedient to Jesus' command to love unconditionally one another. And it's a sacrifice that we absolutely have to make as Christians in order to be people of love, igniting a spark, bringing peace in the world. We want the world to be a better place to live, a more loving place, a more peaceful place. And if that's going to happen, folks, it has to start with us. Because of the love of Christ dwells inside us and compels us. Paul says we have this ministry of reconciliation to go out into the world and tell others the importance of not only being reconciled to God, but being reconciled to one another, you see. And we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And in some cases, the church of the 21st century is very highly criticized because in a lot of cases, we look like hypocrites to the world. We don't live what we preach, sad to say. Paul, in this writing to the Romans, and the message that he gave to the Romans deals a lot with the law, following the law, living certain ways according to our calling as Christians. And in the context of this writing today, Paul is saying, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. So in loving others, in the way the Bible teaches us in the New Testament, we are actually presenting ourselves as offerings to the Lord, holy and pleasing to God. It's our spiritual worship. And I like what Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. And that's the key, because as Christians, we are to live in the world, but not of the world. We cannot conform to the ways of the world. We are different. We are separate. And that word separate or set aside for holiness is sanctified. We're sanctified by Almighty God. Do you folks know that in the Bible, everywhere in the Bible where the majority has an opinion, the majority is wrong? Look at, go from cover to cover if you want. Everywhere where the majority has an opinion and the majority is doing something and it's acceptable to the majority is wrong. So that says something to us about who we are as Christians and how we're supposed to live. Paul says, be transformed. Don't follow the patterns of the world. Then he goes on to talk about some of the spiritual gifts and how we're to share them with others. And he comes to this verse 9, and he says, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. This word sincere, meaning in our English language, truthful and honest and genuine. Love must be truthful, honest, and genuine. We have a lot of people that say, well, I have to love my neighbor. That's a command. So, okay, I'm going to love my neighbor. But deep down inside, it's not really sincere, see? They're just doing it out of action. It's not really honest. It's not really truthful. They're not only lying to themselves, they're lying to the others that they're showing love to, and they're lying to God. And that just doesn't work, you see. Love must be sincere. I like the way the King James Version puts that. Let love be without dissimulation. Let love be without dissimulation. To dissimulate is to dissemble, and to dissemble is to conceal or something that's under false appearance. Let love be without false appearance. Let it be genuine. Let it flow from our hearts because Christ first loved us. And I was thinking as I was reading that, and you look up the biblical text in the ancient language, it implies being a hypocrite. You know, the word hypocrite comes from the ancient languages, which comes from the theater world of acting, where an actor would put on a mask and play one part and then go back and put on a different mask and play a different part, you see. That's hypocrisy, being different people at different times, and Christians are not hypocrites. We are the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. Let love be without dissimulation. Let it not be under false appearance. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. He goes on to sort of commands. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. But the thing I want to get to this morning is this part that he says in verse 17. Because folks, you know, and I know you folks understand this, we try to love others, but others aren't really loving back all the time, are they? And we say, well, I tried to love them, but they won't accept it. They won't receive it. You know, there's no love in them. Okay, I understand that. But Paul says we don't repay anyone evil for evil. Don't take revenge. Let room for God's wrath. That's up to God. That's God's business, you see. But what he says here is, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You see, sometimes we get caught up in this thing of showing love to others, especially those that are hard to love, and you know what I'm talking about. We want to get technical. Well, what does love really mean? What do I have to do? You see, well, that's the common journey that we as Christians have. That's what God speaks to you each day from His Word of what you should be doing to show love to people that you need to love. But the key here is we have a responsibility when we love others, that love is to be genuine, honest, not to be hypocritical, and as if it is possible, as far as it depends on me, live at peace with others. We try and we try and we try, and everybody isn't just going to love us back. But we have an obligation to show love to others. How they respond to that, how they react to that, and how they show love back is between them and God, you see. We don't get upset about that and say, well, they never did anything for me. I did all this stuff for them, and they never did anything in return. Big deal. That's not what it's all about. We love, we serve, and we go on. And we let the results between them and God. We don't keep score. We don't grudge up things. You see, we are in a ministry of reconciliation and love. If it's possible, as far as it depends on us, live at peace with everyone. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, because in doing this, you're going to heap burning coals on his head. And what this is talking about is benevolence, folks. Benevolence is kind of a big word that we don't really fully understand, but in benevolence, what happens, we are working for the good of others, and that's all that we're concerned about, is their benefit, their good, their blessing. So what Paul is saying here to the people is that our love has to be truthful, honest, and genuine. And my opinion on this is, if you're not going to be genuine in your love to someone, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time doing something for them, seeking gain, personal gain, thinking that, well, if I do all these good things, then God's going to bless me. That's not the way it works. It's not a payback system. You see, that we should be benevolent givers. And that's what he was saying previously in the previous verses. Each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function. In Christ, we or many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. The gifts of prophesying. We have the gifts of serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others. Let's give generously. If it's leadership, let's govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let them do it cheerfully. See, Paul is saying here that we have all these gifts. The body of Christ, the church, has all these abilities, all these gifts. And we are to use them for the benevolence of others, for the good of others, showing the love of Christ to others, loving them sincerely, honestly, and not under false appearance. The theme here that Paul's talking about is righteousness practice, or to put it simply, the application of our faith. When Jesus commanded his disciples to love one another, and when he referred to the greatest commands, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, we often focus on these technicalities. Well, first of all, who's my neighbor? I want to know, because I don't want to love somebody that I don't have to. Who's my neighbor? So, and Jesus blew that out of the water. He said, anyone that's in need. Remember last week we talked about compassion and mercy on those needing it, regardless of who they were. This guy was in the pit. There was prejudice. There was bigotry. Several passed by. Can't touch that guy. But the Samaritan, who was considered worthless by the culture of Palestine at that time, was the one who actually stopped, put the guy on his own donkey, took him back to the inn, told the innkeeper to take care of him. And then when he came back, if there was any extra expense, he'd pay for that expense. We don't read in that story anything about the guy that was in the ditch repaying the Good Samaritan, do we? Because that's not what the story's about. The story's about seeing those in need, seeing those that need to be loved, and no matter who they are, where they are, reaching out to them in compassion and mercy, and providing for their needs. And then the real question is, what did Jesus mean by love? Well, in these passages that we study, it's from the ancient word agape, where we get agape from. It's an unconditional love given to those who may not deserve it because of mercy and compassion. And isn't that what God did in Jesus for all of us? To everyone, no prejudice or no bigotry, showing benevolence to all people, and honestly show concern to be charitable for the good of others, helping others. Every day we make choices in our culture today, don't we? We make choices how we're going to treat others. And sadly, we're doing it many times with an attitude of, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? And the Bible teaches us that we should be making those choices considering how we can help others. How can I help this person? What are their general needs? One of the examples I can give real quickly before I'm finished here is, I found one of the really, I don't want to say this, mysterious things I struggle with. Every single day I wake up and there's literally hundreds of people that I could be in contact with that day in ministry. Church members, people in the community that are not, so on and so forth. And again, you know, I wrestle each day. Well, this person's dealing with this, this person's dealing with this. And I wrestle, who should I call, who should I go see? But I have found it very, very important to stop for a second and to just ponder and speak to God and say, God, who needs your presence today? Who needs today? Who needs a word of encouragement? And I listen. And God brings people to mind that I never would have thought of. And when I follow up on that, I am amazed. I am amazed how many people say, oh, I'm so glad you called, and they start telling me. And it's just awesome to see how God works like that. If we stop and ponder and listen to God's voice, how He'll steer us to those in need, and He'll show us those in need. And oftentimes we say, oh, I'm too busy, I can't do that today, I've got my hands full. You see. But as Christians, it's a choice to love. And Paul encourages here, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with those around you, showing those around you love, showing compassion, showing mercy, and being the church that we're supposed to be today in the world. Let's pray. Our Lord and God,